When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan and Tiki on the fan. We will get back to your giant calls in a little bit. Jet fans, too. You pumped up for a meaningless game on Sunday?
Oh, can't wait.
In 25-degree weather?
Oh, do I owe Bart a quarter?
Who do you owe a quarter?
Bart.
Bart who?
Scott.
But you owe Bart Scott a quarter?
I just said, can't wait.
Oh.
That's right. You know what I found out last night?
That he charges a quarter every time you say it?
No. My wife has never seen Die Hard.
Neither have I, so I don't blame her.
What's wrong with you people?
Not interested.
Not interested?
Nah. Doesn't do it for me.
Oh, man.
How do you know it doesn't do it for you if you've never seen it?
Exactly.
It's just like, I think everybody arguing with each other every year about the same stupid topic.
Who cares if it's a Christmas movie?
I'm just saying, it's got Snape, Professor Snape in it.
No,
She said. She's like,
that sounds like Professor Snape. I was like, it is Professor Snape.
But Evan,
yeah.
This argument about whether it's a Christmas movie or not really is like become powerful and stupid over the last decade. You're 40, dude.
Yeah.
You should have seen the movie before it ever became an argument.
Never got to it.
You're not curious?
Not really, and I'm turned off because even though you're right, like the argument has nothing to do with the movie, I've heard so many people talk about it that like I'm like, I'm not interested.
Just do yourself a favor.
And watch it?
Just will watch
my
it.
Here's my quick key question.
Go ahead.
Will my kids like it? Like, is it good for an 8-year-old?
No, because it's like... People murdering one another.
The name of the movie is Die Hard, and you asked if an 8-year-old could watch it.
Well, here's why I'm not going to watch it then, because when I take vacation beginning after this show, everything is done with the kids. So we're going to watch Sonic 1, we're going to watch Sonic 2.
Yeah.
What are you squeaking about over there?
I'm calling BS on that.
Go ahead.
How many Met games are you rewatching over the break,
Evan? That's when they fall asleep, so you're right, I can
you
do
could,
that.
You could, in theory, watch Die Hard. Right. And then watch a game from 98.
And we only watched it because that new movie, Carry On.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of this movie on Netflix?
I saw it last week.
Saw it last week, Carry On. It's like it's a nerve agent that they're trying to do something with and blah, blah, blah. And it's like a TSA guy and it's the new Die Hard.
Oh.
And
so you're saying I need to see Die Hard to then see it?
It's a Christmas movie because it takes place during the Christmas holiday, but it has nothing to do with Christmas.
Right.
It's an action movie. And so afterwards, I was like, Trace, that was, whatever my opinion was. And then she said, well, it's supposed to be the new Die Hard. I said, have you ever seen Die Hard? And she said, no.
It's not as good as Die Hard.
And so what did I do? I went to Amazon Prime and I turned on Die Hard.
So what did she think of Die Hard?
She fell asleep.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement.
No, but they had already watched a movie. She was probably worn down.
Right, it was like 11:30.
I don't know. I think after a certain amount of time when you go without seeing a classic movie, it's like, screw it. Do I really need to see it?
Everybody has movie skeletons in their closet. That's the thing.
What do you mean, like movies they haven't seen?
Of course.
No, I've got a lot of those, but I'd rather watch It's a Wonderful Life for the 15th time.
Oh my God. Thank God he was out that day.
What's the matter?
It's a horrible movie. Horrible. Boring.
I wouldn't say it's a horrible movie.
No,
I think the problem that you have, and I'm surprised with Tiki, so I'm going to excuse you on this. I don't think Sean and Tommy are cultured enough to watch a movie in black and white.
It needs to be remade. I can watch movies in black and white. Citizen Kane.
That's why I excused you, because I know that you're cultured enough to still enjoy a movie.
I just don't like thinking about the holidays, even though this is, it's likely very true. And the premise of when it took place,
is
his experience was likely true.
So then what the hell's your problem with it? You're just depressed by it?
Yeah.
Okay, I could see
Who wants to be depressed in a holiday movie?
I think that's the reason I'm okay with the depression thing is that it has an ending that makes you cry and appreciate life.
Evan hopes this is his Jets fandom one day. Long, depressing with a happy ending.
Yeah, I'm hoping for the happy ending. And I know that this movie, while tear-jerking in the middle of it, does give you that appreciation angle at the end. I can sit through it. I know my wife would hate it. I told her recently. She's like, I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life. I said, keep it that way. Because I know you, and I know you won't like it. But I shouldn't expect more from Sean and Lugie.
No, you called us,
they're very basic. So.
You called us uncultured. You haven't seen like any famous show outside of Friends and Saved by the
Bell.
No,
but I watch a lot of classic stuff, like real classic stuff.
That doesn't make you cultured. That makes you boring.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think it's cultured. Would you say cultured or boring, Tigers?
Just because you appreciate a wonderful, It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, I appreciate older classics.
No.
Die Hard is not a wonderful life. Bro.
It is. Die Hard is becoming a classic.
Yes, and by the way, not
becoming.
That recent.
Yeah,
is it there yet?
I don't know. Mm. I mean, you saw me in here the other day. I was watching intently during the breaks on American in Paris,
and that's a beautiful thing
because I love Gene Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, that's cultured.
I don't even know who Gene Kelly is.
Of course, I do. Gene Kelly's one of the great.
You do. Oh, okay. They don't.
Yeah, but they're uncultured, like I said.
Stop it.
Do you know who Gene Kelly is?
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
He's related to Jim Kelly.
See? They're not cultured back there. It's okay.
He's the guy from Willy Wonka. No, that's Gene Wilder. I knew that one.
That was close, though. It's okay. We'll be the cultured ones. You'll be the cool, hip ones.
Yes.
Well, Tommy's the cool, hip one, and you're the, you know...
You're the
fat
one.
You're the other one.
I'm just kidding.
What is going on with you?
I'm just kidding.
All week?
The bald one. You know why? Because it's his last day for a week and a half.
I started this week by going, Evan, I'll go to the Nets game with you. I try to buy his dinner. He stole from Barclays. And since then,
it's been nothing
but just fat, uncultured jokes.
No. I take that back. I apologize. I thought that was a cheap little laugh. And I took it at your advantage, and I apologize.
Okay.
You accept my apology?
Yeah, just leave it to Fake One for those remarks.
There you go. All right, so if you're just tuning in, right before the holidays, there is a little bit of breaking baseball news that some Yankee fans are very upset about, and I am here to give you a back massage and tell you it's going to be okay. And I'm not saying that just today on a Friday. I said this 4 days ago. Christian Walker is now off the board because he has signed a 3-year, $60 million contract with the Houston Astros. Now, let's take the Astro part out of it, because I know it's easy to get caught in, what are they doing? What's going on with the Astros? What they're doing in a nutshell is they are acting like a mid to small market team while still trying to compete. That's what they're doing. Bregman's gone, Kyle Tucker's gone, but they brought in Isak Paredes, they brought in now Christian Walker. They're going to compete, and you know what? They'll probably be a playoff team. Put them to the side. 4 days ago or 3 days ago, whenever we talked about this, the reason I didn't think Christian Walker was a good fit was because if I'm the New York Yankees, I want to have wiggle room for next offseason. I want to possibly be in the derby for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., no matter what he says about the Yankees. I want to be in the conversation for Murakami, the 25-year-old free agent slugger from Japan who can play third base or first base. And I would rather spend my money on a third baseman, specifically for me, Alex Bregman, who, by the way, is now no longer going back to Houston on a deal like this. The other reason why Christian Walker doesn't make sense, and this is really causing Yankee fans to like lose their minds, but again, I will try to explain it in, I think, a fair way that can convince you. By signing a free agent like Walker, you have to give up draft capital.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I get it. With Max Fried, who cares? Completely agree. With Juan Soto in the Mets, who cares? Those guys have signed to long-term deals. If you have to give up two draft picks, totally fine. Qualifying offer, be damned. When you are talking about a 34-year-old first baseman, who in my opinion, I wouldn't assign to more than a 2-year deal, maybe 1 year, that would have been it. You really want to give up two potential young pieces in draft capital for a Band-Aid? You do that for a long-term solution.
No.
You do that for Fried. You do that for Soto. You don't do that for Christian Walker. He never made sense. He was never a great fit. And I think the New York Yankees made a wise decision. One last thing. I got a little bit of a source. Christian Walker didn't want to come here.
Mm.
Now, I could have led with that. I could have just started by saying he never wanted you people.
Wow.
But let's just throw, I just want you to know, I don't know if the Yankees.
Why not?
I don't want to get into the details.
It's because he dislikes the Yankees?
I don't think he's a New York guy. And that was the perception that was thrown off by some of people close to him, that he was not interested in this. He played in Arizona. He's now going to Houston. He didn't want this smoke. And by the way,
He's a Pennsylvania kid, right?
That doesn't mean you're a New Yorker. Bobby Bonilla was from the Bronx, and he couldn't handle New York.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean you want to go there. So That's the rumblings I've heard, which I think should make this a little bit easier. But even if he did want New York, he was not a great fit for you. So Yankee fans, from this Met fan who looks like a total bum right now, wearing a jet weird bunchy thing and a Brooklyn Nets ugly sweater t-shirt, I think everything is okay. You with me, Tink?
I am. I mean, the age thing bothers me a little bit, but I didn't want to sign him to a big contract. It's actually less years than I thought it was going to be. And so maybe I would have been okay with 3 years, but I thought you were going to have to sign him to a 5-year contract because he's not been paid yet.
Right.
Right. He's one of those 38 or 33 year old, haven't been good, but then to okay, but hasn't been paid yet, guys. And you don't want to make up for what other teams haven't given him. So 3 years I would have been okay with, but I was off of him already. He didn't feel like he was the necessary piece. One, because of his age, you never know when that's ending. But two, you never know when a guy hits the expiration
point. Right. And I also think, like, I think the Yankees are trying to win this year. I think the Mets are trying to win this year. But I think sometimes you make decisions based on flexibility for the year after and the year after that. And so when I look at the first base options for the New York Yankees, I didn't want to be married to any one of these guys. And that's why if you go Carlos Santana on a 1-year deal or you go Paul Goldschmidt on a 1-year deal, you give yourself the flexibility of, hey, maybe I get good production out of those guys. Yep. Older guys, Goldschmidt trying to have a bounce back year, Santana just trying to give you the same crap he's given everybody the last 4 years, which is, you know, 240, 20 home runs, 70 RBIs, and gold glove defense. But you can get by, actually be relatively good, and the next year be in a great position to bid on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And we talked about this a few days ago. I am not submitting and saying, well, he doesn't want to be a Yankee. I'm not going to try.
Well, it's
ridiculous.
Yeah, the challenge with where the Yankees are is that you have to try to win now, and it's why you went and got Juan Soto a year ago. But you also have to build for your future. Mm-hmm. You have to also create something that's sustainable. Maybe Christian Walker helps you win now, but it doesn't fulfill that other side of it. And I think because of how the roster is constructed right now, you kind of got to think about both at the same time.
Both at the same time. And I'll tell you another option. So I mentioned going after Vlad Jr. and going after Murakami. Here's the other option. Keeping first base available for that moment where you decide maybe it's time to move Aaron Judge to first base, or maybe it's even time, though he's young, to say, I think Jason Dominguez is going to be better suited at first base. Or even next year, moving Cody Bellinger to first base for the year.
Is that even a thought?
Which one?
Jason Dominguez?
No, I'm bringing it up because everything could be a thought next year.
Aaron Judge could be a thought next year.
That's what I said, yeah.
I mean, he's been taking reps at it in spring training, but Jason Dominguez.
Here's what I say about Jason Dominguez. He has not been in the major leagues for very long, and so it's not fair for me to say he's a bad defensive outfielder.
Right.
But he didn't look great in left field. He hasn't looked great. So let's see him for a full season. If he turns out to be solid and really good, cool. But there are options down the road. We saw Bryce Harper in the middle of his career move to first base.
Yep.
It's not the craziest thing in the world. So the Yankees clearly need to add bats, and I've got ideas on where they should go. But I have been steadfast over the last few weeks that Christian Walker was not the apple of your eye. And to some Yankee fans, he was the apple of your eye. And I'm just telling you, when you combine all the things we talked about, he doesn't want to be here. He's 34 years old. You needed a multi-year contract. You have to give up draft picks. I think this is the best thing possible.
Forget all that. What you just told us that a source told you is the most important thing.
They don't want you.
I'd rather know that you don't want to be here than you just take the money and then you basically curdle up like Javier Vasquez or Sonny Gray.
That's a risk,
I'd rather dodge that now ahead of time.
Did you want him, though, before that?
I was interested in him, but it wasn't a make or break for me by any means. Like, I would have been happy if they had him. But ultimately, I saw the downside to signing him to a multi-year deal.
And if I'm giving up draft picks because the guy got a qualifying offer, like I said, Max Fried, Juan Soto, it's a non-discussion. When you're signing a guy to a long-term contract, to me, it's worth it. Alex Bregman would be worth it because it's going to take 6 years to get Alex Bregman. And I stand by that. A lot of Yankee fans disagree that would be a long-term commitment that, to me, would be worth it.
Right.
And if I added Alex Bregman and Carlos Santana on a cheap one-year contract, let's freaking go. That's a good lineup. Is it as good as last year? Not saying it is, but your starting pitching's a lot better. Let me just remind Yankee fans something. Last year, their starting pitching staff had the 8th best ERA in the American League. It's not that good.
Mm-mm.
This year, they have a chance to have the best or the 2nd best ERA in the American League. So they're different than they were a year ago.
And they got Clay Holmes out of that bullpen and added Devin Williams.
Clay Holmes was a good reliever, though.
But blew a lot of games for them.
Absolutely.
He just wasn't a good closer.
Right.
Yeah, no, and he actually adjusted well to his late inning kind of change when he went to the seventh inning.
Point
the
is
thing with Devin Williams is he's got to pitch a full season. Like, he missed half the year last year.
And hopefully Lawise gets healthy, but the point I'm making is the bullpen should be more reliable.
That's why they should. That's why they're lucky that they have Luke Weaver regarding Devin Williams. You're right about Devin Williams.
Right.
If he's not your closer, you have someone who filled that role pretty aptly last year.
1 through 13 in this day and age, the Yankees pitching 1 through 13 is as good as any team in Major League Baseball. That's a good thing. And that's different than last year. It's like this assumption that, well, the Yankees pitched well enough last year. Their pitching wasn't the best in the American League. It wasn't the best in Major League Baseball. It wasn't. They're going to be different next year. Their lineup's not going to be the same. They just subtracted Juan Soto. And they're even subtracting Gleyber Torres, who gave you production. So it's going to be a different-looking lineup. But if you make those two moves I suggested as part of Plan B, Carlos Santana on a short-term deal, and you go big on Alex Bregman at third base, I think that's a very good lineup.
And you get Jazz for a full year, too. You didn't have that list.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody's got to calm down about Christian Walker. Let's stop acting like this guy's freaking, a Hall of Famer. I mean, my God.
That being said, will he have a big hit with the Astros versus the Yankees? Of course.
Well, that's a different story. Look, the Astros are weird, man, because they're going to be good.
Yeah.
They're retooling because they don't want to spend on Kyle Tucker. They're not going to bring back Alex Bregman. But you know the Astros are going to be a pain in the ass. They just are.
They always are.
They always are. And then maybe someone else will do your dirty work like this year.
Good.
All I got to say is thank God Christian Walker did not sign with the Texas Rangers, so we are all voided of Marash calling him Walker, Texas Ranger.
Would you have done that?
I didn't think of it, but I definitely would.
That would have been awesome.
I think Lugie's starting to think like Sean. Oh, by the way, Sean, I got bad news for you.
I know, so I haven't hit the 24-hour total that he hit.
Yeah, so yesterday on this radio program, we gave Sean Marash a challenge. Tommy Lugauer is like this incredible Twitter X guy. Like, he'll put out these
legend.
Yeah, he'll put out these like ridiculous tweets and he'll get what they call
engagement.
At Tommy Lugauer.
At Tommy Lugauer, right? So we challenged Sean saying, hey, can you do that? And Sean, of course, is like, I've done it before. I went through a lot of his old tweets. He's rarely done it before like Tommy has, but okay.
More times than he has the last month, but okay.
Okay. So we said to him, can you come up with a crazy tweet live on the show? Put it out there, and we'll see if it can come close to Tommy's engagement, like a little bit of a science project. It has not come close. He put out a weird tweet yesterday about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. being a fat ass, then he got attacked by women from Canada.
Yeah. Blue Jay fans were not happy with me.
Yeah. Right.
But they weren't mean to you.
No, but then I found out there was like a family member of Christian Walker who saw this tweet too, and they were like, I'm out.
Yeah, you cost him coming here. So unfortunately for Sean, it's been about 24 hours and he has not even come close to the engagement of Tommy Lugauer. But out of the fairness of my own heart and Tiki's heart, and even Tommy was like, sure, why not? We want to give you a second chance. So if there is another tweet you want to just throw out there today on a Friday, put out there and see if you can garner the engagement that Tommy got. We're open-minded to where you want to go.
I got a good one on a football Friday.
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
If you think Joe Shane and Brian Daboll should be fired, you're an idiot.
You know what?
Oh, that's a good one.
I think that's a good one. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to fire that off now. How many Giant fans are going to melt them? This fat slob doesn't know anything.
Now, let's get some analysis from Twitter engagement expert Tommy Lugauer. Tommy, as an expert on this subject, do you think this will blow up the way
more than yesterday's?
Yes.
So this will
and then yours.
This will do better than the Vladdy tweet. Sean, give it to me one more time verbatim the way you just sent it out.
If you think Joe Shane and Brian Daboll should be fired, you are an idiot.
I think it won't do as well as the Vladdy tweet.
Really?
I don't.
What makes you say that?
Not provocative enough?
I think that Sean has established himself as a little bit of a Met poker, a little bit of a Met hater, and I think he's riled up a lot of the seven-line people. So taking shots at that they're this, they're that, they're fat, or this guy's a fat slob. Plus, Sean calling someone a fat slob is instant heat because Sean, no offense, is sort of fat and a little bit of a slob, so it's that hypocritical stuff. I don't know where he's going to get the heat. I don't know how this is generating heat.
I just want to give everybody perspective on how much Tommy kicked Sean's ass yesterday, just so you know, just to give you some stats behind it. So the Vladimir Guerrero, he's really fat, or whatever you went into, tweet by Sean, received 256 likes and had about 41,000 engagements. Tommy Lugauer is very simple. Very simple. Clay Holmes better than Max Fried with the symbol, had 373 likes and engagements of 444,000.
Acknowledge me.
Oh, I do. You
send,
are.
Send those to the architect. Wow. Stats,
I mean, so did you figure out who was your multiplier? Like
with every Superman, there's a Lex Luthor. And I believe that person at this station is Keith McPherson.
I agree with you.
Oh. Keith and I have a little something cooking here that I think could be very special.
I think Keith McPherson gets very, I don't even want to say triggered, because I think he's playing along. I think he knows your game.
Agreed.
So I wouldn't say triggered.
No, not triggered at all.
Keith,
I think he enjoys it.
Understands, yeah. Tommy,
right.
And decides to engage back,
right.
Which causes the Yankee Army,
right.
To say, let's attack Lugie, and that helps him.
And I understand Keith when he does the stuff with the Met fans.
Yes.
Right? We both understand.
Tommy and Keith are like kindred spirit.
Yes.
They really are. They're kindred spirit. You guys should do a show together. Are we getting that during Christmas week?
Well, I took off.
Oh,
I think
okay.
We're getting McMonocle and Keith.
Okay. I mean, that's good.
Wait,
too.
You're
but...
off all next week, too?
I'm with you guys on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Evan, no. You're here Monday?
No, I am not here Monday.
Some of us are here.
I'll tell you that right
the
now.
The band is here, except for Evan.
Yeah, I'm out. You enjoy yourself, though. Everybody, seriously.
Yeah. Not the drummer.
That's right. Did you put out the Shane Daybol tweet? Because I think that one does. Tommy, I got to be honest with you. I think that one has a chance to be.
Why, though? The idiot part or just the... I'm trying to figure out, like, what is the trigger?
I think
sometimes it's keywords that get people.
I don't think
it's... Big Brother, things like that.
It's out there, by the way. It's out there.
Oh, it's out
there. I see it. I don't think it's the word idiot. I think it's that Giant fans right now are so convinced that Shane and Daybol have to go that hearing a respected Giant voice, which Sean has become...
Right.
Very passionately saying that they have to stay and you're basically a moron for wanting them back, I think that will be triggering.
So Sean and I are currently in a mute off on Twitter, so I actually have to type his name in to see
this. You're in a mute off?
I unmuted him.
We muted each other. He's still muted as far as...
Really?
Yeah, we muted each other.
How old are you all?
To be honest, I need a little bit of separation from Sean. I'm in multiple group chats. I sit next to him every day. So I had to take one thing out of my life that was Sean Marash, and I picked Twitter.
Well, Sean, you know what you missed last night? And I know this may surprise you. The Knicks have dudes.
Oh, God.
The Knicks have dogs. And they're going to do damage.
So this is why I muted Sean. The thing you tweeted out last night about Sean Payton, and let's just say it was cold in the building, basically.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a good tweet.
He talked about his...
Oh, Sean Payton's nipples?
Yeah. You wonder why
By the way, you very quickly said you don't know what you're I'm talking about, and then you said right away what I had said.
So. Yeah, I see it. I'll give Sean Payton this. Still has hard nipples at his age, as evidenced through the hoodie.
What does that have to do with age?
The hoodie. Dude, those things could have cut glass last night.
Do you think, though, your nipples change with age is the point that Tommy's making?
Don't you get... You know, you ever see somebody's grandfather shirtless by the pool on a 4th of July? They're like...
I've never stared at them, no, so I don't...
They're very shaggy and traffic coney.
Oh, interesting. Boy.
Okay.
And then another one here, he's taking shots at me and the Knicks. This is why...
He wasn't taking a shot at you. You got that one wrong. So basically, there's this lovely lady from Massachusetts who wrote a song for the Celtics during Christmas.
Okay.
It's like when Al Dukes used to care. Al would write songs all the time, and he was very, very funny. He don't care anymore. He don't write the songs anymore.
It's unfortunate, but yeah.
So, very unfortunate. It's one of my favorite parts about Al. So, there's this lovely young lady who did that for the Celtics. And all Sean said was, we need Tommy to do this for the Knicks. That wasn't mocking you. That was like an invitation.
I gotcha. Yeah, it was encouraging to get off the same shtick. You know, he has a chance to do something.
I'll tell you what. On Monday, I won't do a song, but I'll do a "Twas the Night Before Christmas" because the Knicks are playing on Christmas. Is that good?
Oh.
So I'm not like, because I feel like we've done songs here, and
I don't like it.
Evan's the song guy on the show. I'll do a "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
I think that's great. I think that's great creativity.
"Twas the Knicks Before Christmas."
Something like that, because the Knicks are playing at noon on Christmas. I'll do it on Monday.
Yeah, you better not AI it. You better come up with it yourself.
I will.
Just want to make sure. 888-808-1019. Also, one last thing. I did ask Yankee fans earlier today, now that Christian Walker is gone, which of these options intrigues you the most for first base? Paul Goldschmidt, who, by the way, I publicly endorsed on the Rico as my backup plan for Pete Alonso. I think Goldie's going to have a big bounce back year. He also trended in the right direction in the second half. Any masked lefties. So there's a few positive signs about Paul Goldschmidt that would make me say, hey, I could see him having a big year. But just so you guys know, I do want him for the Mets if Pete doesn't come back. Goldschmidt, Santana, Alonso, or an internal option. And they've got a few internal options like Ben Rice, like Oswaldo Cabrera, and obviously Cody Bellinger moving to first base and maybe signing an outfielder. And the leader in the clubhouse right now by just a little bit is Pete Alonso, which I find very surprising. And just slightly behind him is Paul Goldschmidt, who I think is a good choice. I think Goldie has a big bounce back here.
He's not a bad choice. because you feel like, again, he could be a bounce back. And if it's not a long-term deal, like the Christian Walker thought, it doesn't matter.
Right. Now, I heard this suggested by Jake of Talking Yanks. And I respect Jake, but I'm going to disagree with him, but I want to give him credit for this opinion. And then I'll tell you why I disagree with him, respectfully. He said sign Goldie and have him platoon with Ben Rice. I don't think I'm ready yet to say that about Paul Goldschmidt. Like, I know he mashed lefties last year, totally, but I'm not ready to just say, you know what? 70% of the time, I'm going to play Ben Rice. 30, not there yet.
He's 37.
Though. I get you. He's also 2 years removed from an MVP.
True.
I'm just saying.
Gold Glover.
Yeah. I think that Jake could be right. Like, if you sign Goldie and he continues to struggle against right-handers and Ben Rice performs at AAA, is this something we're talking about in the middle of June, maybe? But I would not go into the start of the year and say, all right, Goldie, you're going to play. Because remember, you're facing righties most of the time. Mm-hmm. So you're basically telling the former MVP you're going to play 25% of the time? I don't agree with that. I get where he's coming from, but I would not do that. If I'm signing Paul Goldschmidt, that's my first baseman.
I love gold!
I love gold, too. I loved Goldie. And when he was in his prime, man, with Arizona, and even the first couple years with St. Louis, one of the most underrated players in baseball.
Hall of Famer, for sure.
You think he's a Hall of Famer?
Yes, I do. 100%. When you look at the stolen bases, first baseman, I think Goldie is a Hall of Famer.
I'm going to think about that. Can I think about that, Tommy?
Yes. I look forward to that, Rico.
Tiki, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead. I mean, I'm just looking at it.
Should I give an honest opinion without looking at stats, or do you think I should analyze stats before I respond to Tommy? No.
No stats. Just
guttural. How you your gut feeling.
My gut feeling is he's just a tiny bit short. Okay. He didn't do it long enough.
So would you prefer Goldschmidt over Alonso?
No. I didn't say that.
I think those that would have to rob Peter to pay Paul.
That's what you did. You set that whole thing up just to do that.
That was actually pretty good.
That was all right, I guess.
he hit more home runs against righties last year.
Yeah, but that's because he faced a ton more righties. Look
of
at the
course.
OPS. He mashed lefties.
He did.
Yeah.
He did, but the power came against righties.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not ready to make him a platoon player. Like, if the Yankees sign Paul Goldschmidt tomorrow, I think he's your first baseman. And look, obviously, if he gets off to another terrible start, and he's bad? Yeah, you can change. Maybe Ben Rice earns that job. Maybe you trade for somebody. I have no idea. But I'm saying if you sign him, I would at least give him that opportunity right away to be my first baseman. No, he's my backup for Alonso.
300 more at-bats against, or plate appearances against righties.
Yes, and that's why a platoon is kind of disrespectful to Goldie. He never wasn't going to play enough. The other factor about the Christian Walker signing is what it does to Pete Alonso's market. So Pete Alonso is clearly the best remaining first baseman, but Christian Walker last year had, one could argue, a better year, right?
So what does that mean for Pete? He's lucky if he gets 25?
I think it tells you money-wise, if Walker's getting 20 and the highest paid first baseman is getting 27, that's Freddie Freeman, I think he's going to end up at about 24 or 25. So, okay, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, depending on what Vlad's arb is.
Well, I guess a little bit, but free agency is going to determine
it. Right.
Then you move to, how many years? Christian Walker got 3 years, but he's also 3 years older than Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso's been a hell of a lot more durable, and I'm sure Scott Boras is going to say, if you gave him 3, you better give me 6.
Right.
And he's going to ask for 6 years, and that's the holdup. I think that Alonso and Boras are going to insist on a 6-year contract, and right now, nobody's biting. And if someone does bite, he'll be a former Met. If someone doesn't bite and they have to come back, then I think there's a better chance that the Mets find a way to bring him back on a reasonable deal. Like right now, 4 years, 125? Is that not reasonable?
Yeah.
He's not saying yes to it right now, by the way. I'm just saying, could that be the middle ground?
I mean,
4 years, 125.
That's 30 plus.
No, that's 25.
No, 5 years.
Oh, crap. I did my math wrong.
Right. I was going to say
I'm sorry. Damn it.
5 years, 125.
Yeah, I meant 5 years, 125.
Right. Which, actually, that's what we talked about last week.
Right.
That to me, that feels about
Mets
right.
Mets aren't going to do it.
They're not going to do that?
I don't think they're giving them 5 years. I really don't. Mm. And what's tough is, I know some Met fans see the Walker contract and say, oh, it's good. Look at Alonso's market.
Yeah.
But Christian got 3 years. Pete's going to say, I'm 3 years younger. Right. Give me 5 or 6 years.
And that's $20-plus million each of those extra years.
But the Mets are going to wait him out. This is what I think is going to happen.
This is where the loyalty part of in sports just drives you crazy, because I think the Mets want him back. I don't know David Stearns. I haven't had a conversation like you did before last season to have his thought process on where he is with Pete Alonso. Again, he had only been there for a couple of months anyway. So how the hell does he know other than going through the season, and maybe it's his opinion changed, but.
I don't get a sense that they really want him.
I get a sense that they want him at their price, but here's the risk that they're going to run into. Their price may not come, and we may not get the answer till February. If the Mets agree with me, not saying they do, I'm my own guy, but I want Paul Goldschmidt as my backup. I've made that very, very clear. Paul Goldschmidt could sign tomorrow. He could be a New York Yankee by the end of business day today, right? You put yourself in a spot where if you don't sign Alonso, let's say on February 10th, he ends up with the Chicago Cubs, what's your backup plan? Where are you pivoting towards? So that's the risk in waiting Alonso out. A, that it doesn't work. He ends up getting a team to give him what he wants. B, he gets pissed off at you and says, I don't want to come back, which I don't necessarily think happens, but it's a risk. And then number three, what's your backup plan if he's gone? But that's where we stand. The first base market's moving, but I don't think it's moving with Pete Alonso. Your call's next. The Yankees missing out on Christian Walker, the Mets and Alonso, and obviously Giant fans, how you feel about Sunday. I am convinced that every Giant fan now realizes it's just better off to lose. 888-808-1019. What are we up to? Week 16 in the NFL? My God. We'll get you ready for week 16 in the NFL. Make our picks a little bit later on. Play another game of Tank Bingo. Inform you on what as a Jet and Giant fan you need to have happen outside of your games to help you in the draft order. It's a lot of football to get to as the show rolls on. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Christian Walker is not a Yankee. He signs with the Astros.
What Evan's trying to tell you is that you must watch the 4 o'clock game on CBS. That would be the Jaguars and the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, there's no doubt. I'm not just saying that to pump you up because Tiki is calling that game.
This is Tiki Barber.
That is singly the most important tank game going on. I don't think there's any question. Obviously, your team losing, Jet Giants, if that's your persuasion matters. But the Jacksonville-Vegas game, one of the most important games of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have Sunday ticket, folks.
That's a good point.
I mean, because if the Raiders win, that means both the Raiders and the Jags have 3 wins?
Yeah.
Bro, if the Giants lose and the Raiders win, it is popping bottles territory.
Now, as a broadcaster,
yes,
are you guys going to openly, consistently talk about that angle of it?
No.
Or is it just, hey, let's treat this like a football game that people know what's going on?
No, I mean, maybe later in the game, if it's a non-competitive game, it'll come up. But I think we try to call the game as if the records don't matter.
Right.
Ultimately, they do. Because we're talking about the events of the game, not necessarily the implication of winning and losing, because both these teams are out of the playoffs.
I think
they were in the playoffs, it'd be different.
I think the only thing you need to do is if the Raiders win, and because it's in that 4 o'clock window, let's assume the Giants had lost. Like you already know, obviously the Giant outcome. But if the Raiders win, I think your final words have to be words of encouragement to the Giant fan. Like, hey, Giant fans.
Well, Giant fan, you're in position.
You got what you wanted.
That's all I
got
to say. I already got to explain it. You know exactly what I mean.
By the way, that's the way to handle it. I mean, you could be like other people like Lewis Riddick last week who basically spent an entire quarter calling the Raider game trying to get their job.
Right. I mean, this is why I should be their general manager.
I mean, they need
a
quarterback. That was brutal.
Toll-free number, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Diego in East Meadow. Hey, Diego.
Hey, boys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Evan, especially for you, because I don't like the way you're treating Sean this whole time and wishing him misery on his daughter's birthday.
Thank you,
I would like to Yeah, exactly. I would like to personally wish you a happy 13-year anniversary of the Victor Cruz game, since he won't be on the air.
Oh. Wow.
Wow. We should have got a cake. Good one, Diego.
Wow. Okay, touche, sir. Touche, sir. One of the most painful days in my sports fandom. Thank you for that.
They had mini cupcakes outside.
Is that what they were celebrating?
Yeah, I think that was what they were celebrating.
Definitely.
Thank you for that, Diego. That was very nice of you. Now we're done. I think you had another point, but I honestly think we should move on.
You're so cold-blooded.
I'm not cold. He's the one who called Sports Talk Radio to wish 40% of the audience a happy anniversary on one of the worst days we've ever had as a fan.
The New York Jets
suck. Danced on the grave last year.
Who did?
Beningo.
Ah, he was just excited in the moment. Yeah. This is a very, very difference.
How many playoff trips? Meaningful Giant game last year. What are you talking about?
Well, in the moment, he was just excited as a Jet fan.
He was excited. Tommy DeVito didn't throw a pass. How many playoff appearances since the Victor Cruz game?
Zero.
Happy anniversary, Ev.
Do Victor Cruz dance.
Thank you. Brendan is in Clifton, New Jersey. Brendan.
Guys, we are way overthinking this. There are 17 regular season games each year. Each one of them is way too precious to want anything other than a win. It's that simple. The fact that people are calling up trying to rationalize why they want to win
is ridiculous. This is a regular season game in the NFL. I want to win. I have no desire at all to lose. It's ridiculous.
Brendan, how old are you?
I'm 31. No, 32.
You're 32. So what is the 3 hours of happiness going to get you? Don't you want, like, the chance to have a
win?
Of happiness?
A win in the NFL.
So what, you put your head on your pillow, you wake up the next morning, what changes in your life? You could change the fortunes of a franchise by losing.
You could also screw up the fortunes of a franchise.
It's already screwed up. They got 2 wins.
I think
we're at the precipice of hell, Helen.
That's the last thing Sean says is the most compelling.
They're 2-12.
Right.
Like, what is a win getting you?
You're 3-12?
You know what a win is? A win is you're a married man. You go into a strip club for a good night with the boys. You walk out. You blow all your money. Had a good time. What do you wake up the next morning with?
Guilt.
Should I have spent that money? Oh, God. I shouldn't have gone in that back room. I mean,
hopefully
you know
just
what I mean?
Guilt you wake up with.
Yeah, right. Amongst other
That's
things.
That's what beating the Falcons is Sunday.
Yeah, I think that week 18 is very different. If you're playing the Philadelphia Eagles with something on the line, which is entirely possible, let's say you beat the Eagles, they don't get the one seed, right? That's the scenario.
Yeah, it's different.
I could understand and would understand and probably be that guy who's saying, screw it, I want to win. Like, I want to stick it to him. Because last year when the Giants beat the Eagles, as much as you minimized it at the time, Tiki and I were right. Because we told you this could lead to worse things for Philly,
right.
And it did. They That's lost right. the following week.
And when I told you that beating Washington, the Patriots, and Green Bay would be bad, you told me I was wrong. And guess what? We could have Jaden Daniels quarterback in this team.
That's true.
Let's go to Ozzy in Woodridge. Ozzy, Merry Christmas.
What's up, Ozzy?
And Happy New Year to all of you.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, safe trip, my man.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. My new favorite Christmas movie is the latest remake of It's a Wonderful Life.
That's my favorite movie.
Set in Queens. True story.
True story, yes. It is a true story.
Yeah, true story. Yeah, just like Daredevil. Mm-hmm. But.
Nobody gets that, but that's all right.
I gave Sean his Christmas gift earlier this week, but I'd like to give Evan, Tiki, and Tommy their Christmas gift today, if I may.
Sure, what do you got for
what's
us?
What's up?
All right, Evan, I'm offering you the ability to man up that I have and talk to una esposa latina on your behalf. This way you're going to be able to eat your little snacky poos in your own home upstairs. If you need me to talk to the saintly Sylvia for you,
I think I'm gonna get bad Tiki to talk to her for me. That's what I'm going to do.
That's going to lead to something else happening upstairs. And trust me, you won't be upstairs for it.
You know why I don't feel so bad about that? I don't know if you guys know this. Bad Tiki is AI.
Sentient
He's
AI.
Not real.
Sentient AI.
So I'm all right. I'm good. I'll take my chances.
All right. Tiki, yeah. I'll continue to be the 1975 Irene to your 1975 Ebony, all right, bro?
I like it. Ebony.
Perfect harmony, my man. Ebony. Living in perfect harmony.
And what are you getting, Doodog Tommy Lugauer?
All right. So you mentioned it before, you know, how he only shows up to the podium after Nick W's.
Yeah,
so I got him something so he doesn't have to skip the podium after Nick losses.
What's that?
The Knicks have duds. The Knicks have dogs. We'll spell it O-G-S, though, and not A-W-G-S.
Dogs!
And the Knicks are damaged. So he can use that after their losses.
There you go. It's a great gift. Are you going to do that, Tommy?
This sounds eerily similar to this AI song that you created. They had dudes and dogs that are damaged.
Oh, I remember that one.
Remember that one?
You know, you are so right. You said something the other day. I was reflective. I was in a very AI mood as we reflect on 2024. This is our last full show together of 2024. Everyone else will be here Monday, but I'm lazy and I won't be. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about this year, the year that was. And I did become very obsessive with creating music. And it happened over a short period of time. Like, I stopped doing it. You haven't heard a lot of AI songs over the last few months. It's more sparing. But in the middle of May, I was nuts. Like, I was
making... What caused that?
I think I just got addicted to it. I really thought the music was great.
He also lost his mind with his beard.
I had my beard growing. Yeah, I was crazy. And Lugie's right. The songs I made about the Knicks, the team I hate the most, were my best music. Like I had, and they weren't negative.
It's because it was emotion.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, the worst thing is apathy.
That's
right,
true.
Right? The edges of emotion are great.
Right.
Elation or hate are great. It's the apathy where you just kind of don't care.
Right. But so, we cared.
You cared.
I cared.
No doubt.
And like my Nick songs weren't all negative. In fact, a lot of them were positive. There was a good mix of negativity and positivity around their playoff run. So you're right. And I'm hoping the Knicks can supply us with another deep playoff run so I can bring back that kind of awesome music in April and May, because God knows we're not getting that playoff run from the other tenants at Madison Square Garden. Talk about damaged. Mm. I mean, the New York Rangers are done. It's over.
Same record they had in 2014 when they made the cup at this time.
So you believe in the New York Rangers?
Didn't say that.
Well, you just gave a positive attribute towards them.
I just gave you a little anecdote that they're not dead yet.
You just gave a fact.
That's it.
So since they're not dead yet, why don't you agree to bet Tommy Lugauer that the team that goes furthest, the loser, has to dress up like the trophy of the team that didn't go as far, just like last year, and Tommy paid his bet, since you're giving me facts about 2014?
Nah, I'm good. More ashes scared,
but he won't let. What's so funny is
Farm Your Own Land.
What's funny is that's Tommy's favorite song from my AI era.
I have AI songs here, a little inside baseball, that Evan created just in case something happened.
Oh, do you remember that one?
I have an AI song driving back from Philly and then being disheartened.
Yeah,
I'm like, that didn't actually happen, but I had the song.
I had it made because I was envisioning going to Philly, which we all did. But the Knicks being eliminated.
Envisioned or perhaps hoping, maybe wishing?
Both. I'd say both. Why do you want to debut that song?
But first, before we do that, I do have some important news.
We have breaking news.
What sport?
It's not a sport. It's show related.
Show related.
Evan has repeated a lie multiple times on this show.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
The shortest day of the year, the winter solstice.
Yes.
Saturday, December 21st.
Not true.
Yep. 4:21 a.m. it'll take place.
All right, so I'm going to help you out here. You are correct that winter begins at 4:21 on Saturday. Now, just to prove I'm right and you're wrong, why don't you look at sunrise and sunset today, time-wise, and sunset and sunrise tomorrow,
Evan,
and then tell me the shortest day of the year. Go ahead.
Evan, you declared today's the date of the winter solstice.
No.
Tomorrow is the date of the winter solstice. You could play your little calendar games all you want. Apologize to the crowd.
The winter solstice is at 4:20 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow.
The shortest day of the year is today, by 1 minute.
Then those two things are not the same, and you keep telling everybody... Happy start of winter. Today's winter solstice. That's tomorrow.
Well,
apologize to the audience.
I'll give you that. That the winter solstice is technically tomorrow, but
it's not technically tomorrow. It literally is.
It's at 4:19 a.m. Today is the shortest day of the year. Is that a fact, or am I lying about that?
I have the date in front of me. 4:21 tomorrow.
Wait, no, hold on.
We're not asking you that. I'm just asking when the winter solstice is.
I've already admitted. I guess it is tomorrow morning. Because I did see that this morning. Why I forgot, I don't know. But the shortest day of the year is today.
Do you know what's funny, Evan? Every time I get caught and I'm wrong in something, I back down in the corner to a point I try to prove I'm right.
I just did!
Your voice just got louder and high-pitched. I just did!
Did I not just
telling
admit?
Me that you can't take your loss?
He said he was wrong.
I just said I was wrong.
All right, so then stop telling me to look up what happened. They just said, guys, I'm sorry, screw this one up.
Because I said two things, to be fair. I said it's winter solstice day. Wrong about that. It's tomorrow morning at 4:21 a.m. I raised my hand. The other thing I was saying is today is the most depressing, shortest day of the year. That's actually what the first thing I said.
Right. And it's not
and
a
that's
short,
what he cared about more.
But that is true. It is the shortest day.
24 hours.
Stop it. It's the day with the fewest hours or minutes of sunlight.
Look, we get it, bro. Your mind's on North Carolina. We just have to correct you when we can.
My mind, you know what my mind was on? So this morning, my youngest son had one of those holiday shows where they sing and they dance. They do all this cute, adorable stuff.
Yeah, that's
here
cool.
comes Santa.
So we were sitting outside waiting for the doors to open. Like, this is a Broadway show. And I was checking the weather here in New York and the weather of where I'm going. And while I was doing that, I was like, is today the shortest day of the year? Is tomorrow the shortest day of the year? And I looked it up. And then, you'll love this, Sean, I started explaining to my wife why we can't get rid of daylight savings time. Because, there'll be a flaw with the clock. We'll either get too little sunlight at night during the summer versus it gets too much sun in the morning. And that's what got me that whole web of conversation. But yeah, anyhow, I was about to do something before you interrupted us with that.
Well, perfect. We could do it when we come back on the other end here. It's Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
No, that's not how it works. Damn it, it is how it works. He's right again, that Sean Morash. Hey, when we come back, maybe, maybe Tommy will be nice to the audience and allow you to hear a never heard before song that I created 6 months ago. But more importantly than that, we get back to your phone calls and we hear how the New York Jets, again, by not even doing anything, became the joke of America last night. You'll get to hear it coming up within the next 7 minutes.